Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello, great guys. This is the last Hoovering of the year, so I've made sure it's a fucking doozy. This one is funny, lovely, delicious, but also full of, I believe, really important noise that I'm delighted to be putting into the world. I'm Hoovering with Jeanette Thompson-Wesson, aka the Mindset Nutritionist. I'm incredibly grateful to you for listening to this podcast, by the way. Keep spreading the word, please. If you like the podcast, make all the other twats start listening to it too. One way of raising the podcast profile up the rankings is to give it 5-star reviews wherever you get your pods from, and by subscribing to it. Saves you bother anyway, that last one. Get on social media and follow at The Hoovering Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We're going to be sharing all the podcast's latest news, funny little extra bits and all that sort of shit, and asking you to answer eating specific questions. You can now email thehooveringpod@gmail.com, and now you can text or WhatsApp voice note me too on 07462855271. Mega thanks if you're one of my patrons. Without you, the podcast is but crumbs and whistling wind. If you've got as much as £2 a month to spare, please go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and see all the frankly brilliant things my patrons get in exchange for making sure this podcast exists financially. We are Hoovering live with a super swanky star celeb guest or two on the 18th of February at 3 p.m. as part of the Leicester Comedy Festival in, obviously, Leicester. Those are always amazing rooms to be in, so please do join us. There's nothing like actually coming to the live show. Discounted tickets, as ever, are available for my patrons, and also I'm doing a work in progress there on the 17th in the evening as well. I'll have an hour of new stuff by then, won't I? Sure. Lastly, please may you come and see Wench in its last dates for now at London's Soho Theatre from the 11th to the 14th of January. Tickets available for all those things and others that I won't have had time to mention here, all available on my website, jessicafostercue.com. Right, let's get into this then. God, it was a belter, if I don't say so myself. Jeanette came over to mine for lunch, and the only thing to warn you about is that we do talk about fatness, obesity, and we use the words obese and calories, and there are numbers mentioned around weight loss at one point. Never in a glorifying way, of course. Only avoid that if you're avoiding all content on that subject. At no point are any of those things glamorised, glorified, recommended. It's just they're spoken about in the context of enlightenment and the intuitive eating movement and journey. I hope you love this conversation even half as much as I did. Let's go. What it is, thanks for coming here. And what it is, that's rye bread.
Yum.
That's posh green olives, notarello, whatever. They're from a really nice deli around the corner called Found Hope.
Ooh,
which is really awesome and do lots of awesome things and employ lots of awesome people. And then I made whipped feta, which I've never made before.
I've never tried it before, but I've heard about it.
Yeah.
I love feta.
Oh, do you?
I love feta.
Me too. So I'm a salt mouth. So I think that's going to be right up my strata. But I think it's going to need to go with other things. It's so like soury salty that I've done some toasted pistachios with it. There's crispy chili oil. Have you ever had that?
No.
It's actually really mild. And I think it's got a slight heat, but also a crunch that stick on top of everything. Some just roasted beetroot. It's just cold. But I think something purple looked nice against all the yellows.
Brings the colour up.
And then that looks like shit, but I'm really excited about it, is like a tahini miso butterbean.
Oh my god.
Thing to go on top of bread.
I'm excited about that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, let's just go for our lives. I mean, and there's some butter in there, or I've got oil if you prefer.
No, it's good.
Okay.
It's lovely.
I'm going to go for some of this beans business because that's the warm element. This feels wintry, actually, doesn't it? This.
It does.
You don't have to like it. You don't have to eat anything you don't want. You don't have to like anything you don't like.
No,
as is both of our philosophy generally in life. But also, beetroot is one of the main things that I loathed as a kid.
Really?
And I felt like I hated the fact that people said to me so often, have you tried it like this? Have you had it like that? Have you done it like... And I thought, just let me not like it. And I was almost annoyed one day when I began to like it.
Sure.
I think it's just a case of dead taste buds.
You wanted to just rebel against all of that.
Yeah, stick to my guns and continue to loathe it forever. But have you ever had a thing that you didn't like that then, as you got like more grown up, you did like it suddenly to eat?
I think when I was growing up, I had a very typical like upbringing of like sausage, mash, and like gravy, baked beans, you know, all those kind of like traditional kind of... Really kind of the kind of things that you come home from school and just the parents can get in the oven really quickly. Like, obviously, really, like, homely food.
Yeah, great.
But I never actually got into, like, stuff like fish or anything. My parents didn't like fish. They were always forced to have fish.
Oh, were they?
You know, that kind of thing. So they were just, like, fish fingers was it. And then one day I think my husband, when we got together, he was like, you haven't tried salmon? I was like, I've never tried salmon, but I don't like it. And he was like... How can you know?
Oh.
I tried salmon one day and I was like, oh my God, this has changed my life. And it really did.
It's so
Although,
dangerous, isn't it?
The one thing, actually saying all that, the one thing that I tried, I went to Barcelona, pre-children.
Yeah.
And we...
I love the way you say that, as in like, because holidays now, for a good 15 years, are fucked.
Royally.
Yeah.
Royally.
It just isn't a holiday. You can go to the loveliest place, but
There's
it's
no
not like you're going to get the extra sleep.
No.
Yeah.
And the food is all going to be chips all the way, isn't it? Rather than all the like, delicious food you used to have.
Yeah.
I had, like, a proper foodie drink kind of, like, breakaway. It was gorgeous. And I hadn't tried prawns at that stage.
Wow.
Never tried prawns.
What a place to go to try a prawn.
No. And I had to get a little bit drunk.
Yeah. Oh, and really? To go for it?
Yeah. I had a massive glass of sangria. It was a beautiful sangria as well. It was, like, so good, so yummy. Finished that so quickly. And the husband was like, now you really have to try some prawns. And I almost hated that I liked them.
Yeah.
And I still can't eat them when I'm sober. I have to be slightly
That's
drunk.
So funny. That's so funny. I love that as a prawny ritual. You're like, if I'm going to go for something this
a bottom feeder. There are some intellectual disconnects that need to go on to enjoy that thing.
But yeah, prawns have to be slightly drunk to me.
That's really funny. That's so funny. I mean, I've had loads of relationships where it got to the point where I had to be slightly drunk to get off of them. But it feels like that. It feels like the eating equivalent of that. You're at that funny old stage with prawns. And, you know, there's no need to break up with prawns, but, like, there is a conversation to be had about why you need to be drunk to eat them. Yeah, you and prawns need to go to someone and have a word with them. And, like, yeah. Right, I'm going to try it. I'm excited about trying Whitfest. I've got a fuckload of that chilli business on mine, but I am that way inclined. Oh, my God, yeah. I've touched it all down myself. Oh, man.
That's the way to eat it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I'm excited about this feta.
I really like it.
That's delicious.
Glad. Glad you like it. It's a lot. I think it's full of flavours, isn't it? It's really sour and salty. I think if you like sour and salty things, you're in there.
I'll have to make this.
Oh, good. I'll send you the link. It was actually a piece of piss, not to brag. Just stick three things in a whizzer. Yeah. Oh, okay, I'm going to try the butter beans.
Literally amazing.
They're even better, I think. Oh, God. Yeah. That's nice.
You've
made That's
really,
so nice.
This is really, it's all right, really amazing.
It feels quite lunchy. I feel like I can't really intellectually justify why I find a meal to be lunchy or dinnery. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so funny that we've got, like, these really ingrained rules about, like, well, that's the sort of thing you'd have at lunchtime. But I don't know why I'd find it mildly disappointing for a whole dinner.
It feels like I like to rebel sometimes with, like, having, like, a lunch meal for dinner. Or
yes.
Eating, like, pizza. Like, eating pizza for breakfast is the best thing in the world.
The best. Well,
it's so good.
And similarly, having a fry up for dinner every now and again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear about people that do that, I really love that. I love that disrespect for society's norms.
Grandiosis.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiosis.
I feel like our chat is a really important one because I've not had one like this for ages. There's a reason I'm choosing to share this conversation on the 30th of December. It's just before people go into 2023, I think, potentially with hearts full of resolutions to finally get thin. I say that because that was my
New Year, new me.
That was my New Year's resolution for about 27 years plus. Wildly, it never worked.
Kale surprise.
but yeah, I don't, I mean, where to begin? Please may I have your journey into becoming the mindset nutritionist, and then we'll get into intuitive eating, fat positivity, and the general kind of enlightenment.
All of that jazz.
Yeah.
Me being a nutritionist, I always wanted to work with something in relation to food.
Yep.
As I was a child, I remember loving, like, Ainsley Harriott, Can't Cook, Won't Cook.
Yes.
You know, all of the, you know, all of those kind of programs. Loved it. And I did, like, some work experience in year 10, and I then realised that I absolutely hate being in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much not a sole worker. I just didn't enjoy the environment. And then I can't remember even who said to me, they were like, you really enjoy science? I was like, yeah. And they were like, why don't you do something with nutrition? And I was like, yeah. Okay, so I looked into it. I actually wanted to become a dietitian.
Yeah.
And my kind of journey to becoming a nutritionist, and wanting to become a nutritionist, I had a lot of disordered eating myself as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And it was born out of fear of my body and my body size and judgment of my body size. And I thought to myself, being a nutritionist, like, you have to have a certain body type.
Right, yeah.
Sort of certain look.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had that body type. I've never had that look. I'm never going to have that body type. And I'm never going to have that look.
Yeah.
I know that now.
Yeah.
But back then, I wanted to try and manipulate that. Obviously, that wasn't working. I remember going into my nutrition lectures and looking around the people, the students around me were obviously much smaller in relation. And I remember having conversations with people and they'd be like, you know, well, maybe you'll be ready now to lose weight.
Oh, my fucking God. Yeah, yeah, sorry.
You'll be ready to lose weight.
Oh, God.
And maybe this degree will help you do that, as if I was doing something.
As if you were there for a sort of personal kind of transformation plan.
Rather than to actually learn the science behind nutrition, the science behind our bodies and that kind of thing. Doing that, it was obviously extremely, like, weight-centric. It was all, you know, you must lose weight. This is how you lose weight. This is... They did teach us a bit about the science behind that. They didn't even go into that into much depth.
Right.
Which, looking back on that, was really
interesting. That's bizarre.
Like, I'd have to know the, you know, the metabolic pathways of how, like, protein and fats are broken down. Like, really complex systems in our bodies. Yet, they would be like... But you've got to make sure that everyone loses weight. And here's, like, some cherry-picked, like, studies in relation to that. I didn't actually go into depth with that, which, looking back on that, is really interesting. Because we obviously, because of societal standards and norms, we just all took that and went, okay, well, that's what we're told everywhere. The NHS tells us this. At the time, the government was doing this massive foresight report and trying to push, you know, kind of, like, healthy eating, I've done quotation marks for that, like, on children, and like, really kind of, so it was just taken as a, this is just what we're going to have to do. And
it's still just taken, generally, frankly.
Yeah. I kind of went in, I kind of wanted to go and I kind of had a thought of doing two directions.
Right.
Either I go and become a dietitian and I do my master's degree.
Yeah.
Or I go become a food teacher. Two very different things, same amount of time, same amount of money.
Right.
Kind of like, it was weighing those two up. I really felt like my body was still getting in the way of that.
Right. Gosh.
So I didn't become a dietitian because I thought to myself...
You didn't feel like you looked like one.
Didn't feel like I looked like one. I'd done some work experience, and in the hospital I worked at with my work experience, there was one dietitian that was a fat dietitian. And she almost... She didn't put me off of it at all. She was a fantastic dietitian, knew exactly what she was on about, someone that you could really trust to be around.
Yeah.
But... She, I think she just felt like she faded into the background.
Fucking hell.
And I almost, I noticed that.
Yeah.
And I think I was just like, I don't want to be someone that, because I'm not the kind of person who can just easily fade into the background. So I went and became a food teacher. Still judging myself, still thinking, why would people trust my nutrition advice and my nutrition education? Why would we do that? Why would anyone do that with me? And it was kind of confirmed a few times along the way, like friends, they would ask me nutrition advice. I'd give them really sound science-backed, science-informed nutrition advice. They wouldn't take it from me. They'd go and pay for someone else who looked very different from me.
Fucking hell.
Because why would you listen to someone who
it doesn't look like an after picture from Instagram.
Pretty much, And which was never ever going to be. Like, I've dieted...
Yeah.
I did Slimming World. I lost 4 stone on Slimming World. So sorry, anyone who is listening to this, you know, trigger warnings.
Don't worry.
And you know, I did all of that. I did Slimming Fast, and that was horrendous. That was awful. And even though I knew as a nutritionist and a nutrition scientist that what I eat on a day-to-day basis is, you know, nutritious. I mean, obviously I have days where it's not as nutritious as others. Like, that's completely
give a
standard
shit. That's
and normal.
Living a human life.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But I thought to myself, I should be doing something different.
Yeah.
Maybe what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, even though I know I'm getting nutrition into my body, it's not good enough for me because I'm still the weight that I am. So I should be trying to manipulate that. And I remember trying to look into the science behind Slimming World and how, like, sins and stuff are calculated.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't find anything. But I still, because of some society standards, I didn't question it. I went, okay, I can't find anything. Like, I don't understand how they can find sins in an avocado or a mashed banana. And then, you know, I just didn't understand it. But I just went with it because I was like, well, it works. It, once again, quotation marks, it works.
Yeah.
It didn't work because I lost that 4 stone. I put that on plus much more.
Yeah.
And
as is the way with
really quick
all, every single all diets. Yeah. Like the science behind that now is fucking overwhelming. The fact that the diet industry has grown and grown and grown is evidence in itself that it's perpetuating itself.
Yeah.
It's the only sort of neutral way to put that. Do you know what I mean? It's not, I do not think there's a single intelligent person who's actually educated on it who could back up any diet now. There isn't. Yeah. None of them work. I've done all the ones you've listed. We both probably tried every single one at some point. I remember doing Slim Fast. I'm not sure if I've ever said this on this before. And I hit about 12. I remember getting it out, because you had a breakfast and lunch one, didn't you? And I remember getting it out in my class and my brilliant teacher going, "What is that?" In a way that was like the closest she was allowed to come to going, "What the fuck is that? Like, why are you doing that?" Mm-hmm. And I remember getting a laugh out of the class by going, "Well, because I want to slim fast." And everyone would be like, "Ah!" And I was like, as ever, like, I remember having friends who'd be like, "Can tell you on one of your diets because you're shivering." And it would be like, straight away, I'd get really cold all the time. But it took me well over a decade of that to realise that every single time, that the fact that I was doing it again and again and again, because your body will come back to what it's going to be. You can't be hungry forever. It's not sustainable. The massively vast majority, give or take, you know, one or two complete anomalies, people's like, there's no way to live. But it's also, even if you were, go, "Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be hungry forever. I'm barely going to eat. I'm going to live my life in a calorie deficit," to be blunt. Again, I don't know why I'm even having to mention the fucking anomalies, but that's a miserable fucking life. Why wish that miserable fucking life on anyone? That's not health. Anyway, thank you very much. You, as ever, what will happen throughout this conversation is you'll be really articulate and full of facts, and I'll just get a massive fucking stress on and get all swearing about it.
But where I take that in my brain, range-wise, is like bariatric surgery.
Oh!
And like you just said, how can anyone... Hunger is this biological thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hormonal thing that happens in your body. It's triggered through a load of chemical processes in your body. Just like needing to go for a wee, going for a poo, you know, all of these things that happen in our body. We can't just say to ourselves, "I'm just going to stop weeing. I'm just going to stop weeing." Eventually your body is going to have to give in to that, and you're going to have to go to the toilet one way or another. It's the same thing with hunger. People completely forget that you can't just keep on running away from hunger. Your body doesn't want to stay in that state. And it is a state, because when you go into that, your cortisol levels rise as well. So your stress like literally goes through the rooftop as well. So not only are you having like your day-to-day stress, you've also got the stress in your body, the physical stress on your body, and also the mental stress in your body, trying to restrict and continually be in that hunger zone.
Yeah.
And when we're enforcing that on, let's face it, fat people, and telling them that you haven't worked hard enough, you haven't done anything right, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to make you have stomach surgery, and we're going to cut that off of you, and you're going to literally have to, whether you like it or not, after that, live with hunger for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And what blows my mind is that it is just sold as in, if you do this, this is going to be your answer. You have done all the diets under the sun, and we feel really bad for you. We feel so bad for you. It's so awful. You're still fat after doing all of that. It's not your fault, which is how it's been sold at the moment. It's been sold, it's not your fault, you're fat.
Yeah.
But we also don't want you to be existing in a fat body. So you need to have surgery.
Your fatness is an illness. That's what this kind of idea of like this government obsession with tackling obesity, like as if, and I had this argument with a friend who was like, "I think it's really good that obese people are going to be helped by being offered these surgeries." Problem number one, like, body, regardless of whether it's healthy or not, that's someone's body. It's not morally intrinsically wrong. I'm fucking done with this idea that there's something ethically wrong with being in a fat body. It's just your body. It's not an illness. It's just your body. I mean, there are going to be people with fat bodies who aren't healthy, who need help with their health. It's a completely separate conversation. I'm really tired of this fundamental idea that thin equals healthy. There is progress in the sense that, no, but it isn't from the government. And because it's obsessed, you posted something recently about, the government spent £100 million on weight management services.
Yeah.
in 2020 and 2021. There's no evidence of where that money's gone. There's no evidence that that spent money has ended in anybody being any less fat anywhere.
They haven't followed it up.
They've just thrown that money in there. Because 99% of people still go, well, that's a worthy place to send it. Exactly. You've got to get rid of it. I've got sensible, kind, lovely friends who say to me, well, what would you do then if you don't believe even in the word obesity? What would you do about the obesity crisis? I'll be like, fuck all. Yeah, absolutely okay. Not a crisis. I don't consider it a crisis.
Let's not throw money at that.
Yeah, let's not throw money at that. Let's take that money. I'd love to see a government-backed initiative to invite people to feel confident finding a way of moving their body that brought them joy. Then that was their only motivation to get out of it, yeah. To, like, find joy, seek joy where there is joy and find it.
None of that. Keep going. Ladies, come on, think of your summer bodies. Your summer bodies.
No, not to change your body.
Now.
If your body, it's nothing to do with changing your body externally, visibly. This is about making you feel joy. Yeah.
There's so much, there's so many studies out there that show that independent of like weight and whether you lose weight, gain weight or maintain weight, that actually just movement improves your health.
Yeah.
And can actually reduce a whole load of risk factors for being ill, especially as you grow older as well. Why can't we be focusing on that? Because I think if we, and a lot of my work as well, I believe, and I've seen the science behind a lot of my work that I do, I like to call it science informed, because it's not just science backed.
Yeah.
Because if you just follow science studies, you're just following a whole load of papers, whereas actually you need to bring a lot of lived experience in with that, and lived experience from a whole load of people, marginalised people, you know, people. You need to bring all of that into your work, especially the stuff that we kind of do in nutrition with food, because it's not just nutrition. Like, the stuff on this plate is much more than that. This is a memory that's being created. Yeah. This is a really good conversation we're having. This isn't just some protein and, you know, some calcium. You know, there's much more of that in
there. It's not just fuel. It's not very human experience to have it as just fuel.
Yeah.
I mean, for the sake of this podcast, it breaks my heart there even exists, like, the eating equivalents of just an injection of fuel, because it's a missed opportunity to take joy.
Exactly.
In your one short, sweet life. Like, it's boggling to me that people would rather have a dust or a powder or a shake than a memory. It's stuff smashed down. I mean, our mouths are there to chomp and to chew and to release chemicals that give us highs and lows and fears and shocks, and all of it's part of the process, the anticipation of the thing, the craft, the emotion, whether it's like sweat and labour or whether it's like love and excitement that goes into the prep of it, all of that of part of eating goes out the window. And I get it that we're busy.
Yeah.
And we are. And I'm not saying you should have to have a really well thought through feast for every fucking meal. Who's got time for that? But ultimately, why are we leaning into a future where we're just getting busier and busier and busier and taking less and less time and care and thought over what we are fueling our bodies with? Anyway, I feel like I've fucking digressed again.
Capitalism.
Yeah, there is capitalism. Yay capitalism.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas.
absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And so a food teacher, obviously, in the day, but also what is that? What is your job? What is being a mindset nutritionist?
So after becoming like a food teacher, I realised that I still have such a passion for like helping people with their nutrition, and there's only so much I can do with children, obviously. Like, my job as like teaching students isn't to give advice, nutrition advice, it's to help them and guide them with their nutrition education, mm-hmm. and to learn, and I love teaching them how to cook. Like, it's so lovely teaching them how to cook. It's so hilarious as well. But I realized I wanted to, so I started doing just nutrition stuff kind of on the side as well. And I kind of fell in after doing my final bout of like Slimming World, actually. I kind of fell into Health at Every Size.
Right.
And I started researching that, and I was like, oh my God, my mind is blown. Mm-hmm. Once again, this makes so much sense to me. This is why I can do any diet ever and still end up being larger than what I was to mm-hmm. begin with. And then I started reading a lot of the science and started doing a lot of training and, you know, just collecting a load of my own bits and pieces together. And everything started kind of slotting into place. I mean, my whole family, not my whole family, but most of my family are in large bodies.
Yeah.
I am always going to be in a large body. My children may or may not be in large bodies as well. You know, that's something that's handed down to me in my own personal genetics, and that's part of my own personal body journey as well as my own like professional journey now. So then I discovered, obviously, kind of Health at Every Size, and then intuitive eating kind of come hand in hand. So I did training with that, and it just made a lot of sense. And I did my own personal journey and then went into my own professional journey thinking like, this is just amazing. This is exactly what I needed. And if this is something that I needed, then I know that it's going to be something that so many other people need. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love being able to tell people and say to people, because I think people come to a nutritionist and they think to themselves, okay, so it's a nutritionist, they're going to find out what I eat, and they're going to be really prescriptive, and they're going to give me a meal plan, and that kind of thing. Whereas I kind of sit there and I kind of listen to what they've eaten and stuff, and I'll give them like a few bits and like maybe a few pointers, but I'll actually talk more about their relationship with food and how they feel about eating that food, and then their relationship with their body as well. And people come away from those kind of things feeling much more empowered, rather than no, you're not eating right, and here's a meal plan which they know deep down they're going to be able to follow for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And they're going to probably do some binge eating around that. They're going to have some cheat days. You know, it's not going to feel natural to them. Whereas the way that I want people to learn how to eat is to feel very natural for them, that they can build in nutrition. Like, it's really important. And then obviously you've got the fat. Like, I started being, obviously, nutritionist and then intuitive eating, like, specialism as well. And I very quickly realised that there's, when you look out there, especially on social media, you've still got the problem of, here's a nutritionist who's also like an intuitive eating like counsellor or coach or has a specialism in that, and they still look one way.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still very, you know, skinny, straight size, you know, whatever word you want to describe with that. And I still didn't fit into that mould, but I was in a different side of that. I was actually, I don't fit into that mold, and I'm going to lean into that.
Because
actually, we need more people to turn around and go, it's okay to be fat.
Yeah, not to have thinness as a goal at all.
It's okay. I don't want you to have me as your nutritionist or your, you know, your intuitive eating person, and then look like me.
Yeah,
I want you to come to me and know that I'm not going to want you to look like me, or I want you to look like you.
Yeah.
I want you to accept you. I want you to commonly. The
most, it's amazing. And brave and transgressive, I would say, arguably, just to put your hand up and go, I don't.
I'm a nutritionist and I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Like, and people can be happy in their own bodies as well. It just takes a lot of time to kind of fight through all of the societal crap.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on it. We're on it. Let's talk about fat as a neutral word, especially around children, because I loved your chat on that with the lovely Molly Forbes as well, who's been on this before. Yeah. It's very hard to do, I think, to neutralise the word fat, even if your noise at home is good. I've got 1 7-year-old, and I put a shift in, you can imagine, trying to make the word fat neutral. And we can do it at home, but there's unfortunately still the whole rest of the world's noise.
Yeah. Yeah.
To counter it with. It's tricky, isn't it? But it's worth doing.
Yeah, it is. I think it's important to start having those conversations as early as possible. And then obviously you're going to have like stuff come back. My 5-year-old said the other day, because we were on some swings and my bum was too big for the swing and it hurt. And I said, it's hurting my bum. And she said, is that because you're too fat, mummy? But didn't say it in like a... I was like...
Yeah.
How did you just say that to me? Like, it was you're too fat for that. I was just like, it's okay. My bum is too big for that. It's too fat. Yeah. And that's okay. I'm not going to be able to fit into everything. And I know that. That's just how my body is.
Yeah.
And I think it's just important to just continue having those conversations as the opportunity comes up. Because like you said, unfortunately, the whole world has anti-fat bias everywhere.
Yeah.
Like literally every single turn, everything that the kids watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the stuff. I mean, Peppa Pig, we don't let the kids watch Peppa Pig because just the fat phobia in there is horrendous.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't let them do that. But I know that in school, obviously like health lessons and that kind of thing is going to be. And one thing I did do with her school last year, they had, I think, an athlete coming in to the school. And they wanted to do a presentation on healthy eating. When I looked at what the presentation was going to potentially have, it did talk about like, healthy weight. And I did challenge. I actually emailed in. I think that it's doing that kind of thing. It's not only speaking to your children about, like, fat is okay. And I think, in a way, it's much easier for me to speak about that because
you know
being
what you're in about.
A mid-fat body myself... I can say, point at my body and go, I'm fat and I'm very happy with my body.
Yeah.
I'm existing. You watch me exist every single day.
Yeah.
They smush my tummy. You know, they feel my arms. They, you know, they see that.
Yeah.
So that makes it much easier for me to be able to show them that I can be very positive about being fat and I enjoy being in my fat body. Like I legitimately do. So they can see that my day to day, but having those conversations and then also challenging those kind of things that may come up at school.
Yeah.
I did email the head teacher and I did say to my head teacher.
It takes more bravery than you expect it to, don't you, to put your head above
the parapet. Even me, like,
really?
Yeah, I was like, I know we need to do this. And I said to my husband, am I just being one of those people? And then he was like, no, you know what you're talking about. You need to be challenging this because this isn't just challenging it for my daughter, it's challenging for all the other children. I mean, eating disorders as well is on a massive rise at the moment. And that's, I really think, really stuck together with that anti-fat bias that's around at the moment. It's been really heavy. Like after we've come out of lockdowns and stuff, and people inevitably put on weight during lockdowns, we have gone through collective stress.
Yeah.
And not just a small amount of stress, a huge, like, a whole world of stress, you know, everywhere.
I think we're still too close to that having happened in time for us
exactly.
to be able to really realise the impact that will have had.
I think years down the line is going to be really interesting of what, like, the impact of that stress has actually had on us as a population. I think it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
But I think the messaging came in strong of, or you can now start losing your pounds, your COVID pounds, like getting rid of all of that as well.
It's like collectively as a nation, we got the noise that you get after having a baby, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, pretty much.
Like when you're going to lose your lockdown fat, basically.
Yeah, you need to kind of look like you used to look like pre-COVID. And I think challenging that as well. And it did work out well because the head managed to get hold of the charity and the athletes and they took out all of the healthy eating stuff. So they still had like the chat about movement. But without the healthy eating side, I was like, thank goodness. Like, she's obviously listened to me in relation to that.
That's amazing. And also, I think it's really interesting. I think I also want to point out, I think, that this, we're not talking about nutritional health with kids. I mean, I love doing that with my kid. But and it's similar. Like, I think you also talk really, like, I think helpfully about, like, remembering positive self-talk in front of your kids. And I think my son's... I mean, he's really handsy with me still, but he's always loved my tummy. And will shout about loving my tummy. And I haven't, when he was tiny, I know I wasn't there yet. I wasn't able to be like, I'd be like, oh, you know, don't, or whatever. Whereas I think these days it's like, yeah, and it's smashing. Isn't it lovely and wobbly? They'd be like, oh, I can't wait till mine's got a bit of wobble like yours. And be like, yes, good attitude.
Oh, yeah.
But then you'll get, he'll already come home from school and go, so-and-so's called me fat. Every day, they are. But at this stage, hopefully, I think there's just an element of like, you're so tall. Your bum's big. They're sort of stating facts about each other, but there are little notes of negativity coming in about fatness from school already. And it's unpicking that I find so gravelly. Like, I really do, I don't always find the words other than just to bark, you know. There's nothing wrong with being fat. There's just nothing wrong with being fat. Someone can call you fat and you can go, and? Like, it doesn't, yeah. And he's like, yeah, and I can say to him, I'm so strong, I can do this, I'm so fast, I can do that, I'm the second fastest at this, and everything's all about stats, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I actually am the fattest, I'm the second fattest person in my class, and he's sort of got a list of who's the everythingest of everything. This person at maths, so-and-so has become the second, you know, oh gosh, okay, that's like a graph. Or maybe he'll go through life like that. I don't know. But I think the other thing is in the same breath, you can be, I love saying to him, and he's going, why do I have to, you know, I want him to try all different flavours, but you also go to him, well, you know, you're seven and I have to guide what you eat to some extent because you're seven and I'm cooking most of it and I'm planning most of it, but trying to explain to him why it's really important to have carbohydrates, yeah. To have all different types, what protein does, how your body uses it, how your body uses vegetables, minerals, you know, it's really, and like, find things you like the taste of, and if you really hate the taste of something, that's probably your body going, don't have that right now, like, yeah. And what does it feel like to feel hungry, like having those conversations, what does the fullness feel like today, yeah. Or like, you can stop whenever you want when you're full, but until you're full, don't feel like you have to stop or take your time, all that stuff. That has been a fucking lesson in making, because he will take his time, mate. He'll go off and do something. That is like, and you're like, that really gets me in the intuitive eating soul. Because you're like, I know I should be letting you. I know I should be letting you fuck off and play Lego for half an hour in the middle of this meal, but this is destroying me and it is ruining our day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it really hard as well, yeah. Sometimes, because you just think, like, you can create. It's always the mum. It's always the. I have like my mum part of the brain, then yeah. I have like the nutrition side of my brain, yeah. And like intuitive eating, and then so the mum side of my brain. When one of the kids have been like, "No, I don't want to eat this," and they literally just push yeah. it away, and you're like, "But I saw what you had for lunch, and that also wasn't that much.
Yeah.
Also, you didn't have that much breakfast. Like, and you're and the part of me is like." Okay, no, don't comment. This isn't your place. Mm-hmm. This is not your place. You don't say anything, but you just really want to be like, are you sure you don't want one more bite?
Yeah.
Go on. And it's like, no, don't do that. And
oh, I've God, got this I mean, kind I of cave. Argument in I'm my brain. I'm deeply imperfect. I just cave and be like, I just eat one green bean and then you can go, yeah, I do that sometimes. It's not going to make him love
just
green
one more,
bean,
just
is
one
it?
More.
Just eat. Just eat a pea. Eat one pea and then go.
You just eat some fibre. Have some fibre.
Get some fibre in there.
Quick fire questions.
Tell me about something you ate that you won or were gifted. A food stuff.
I won a cake once.
Shut up.
I won a whole, it was massive. It was a massive chocolate. I think it was a Halloween cake.
Yes.
It was so good.
Mm.
And it was just me. And my husband and my daughter, so it was just me and my husband that basically ate the whole thing. And
yes.
It was so joyful. So good.
I love it. What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? I feel like it might be a drunk prawn.
It could be a drunk prawn. No, I did go a step further with the drunk with the drunk seafood. And I had razor clams.
I thought you were going to say, like, I took heroin and I ate a squid.
That was levelling up. That's a bit too much of a levelling up for me.
Razor clams is nice and weird. And I like it.
They were, like, cooked for a really long time and, like, ooh. Double or triple cooked and stuff. And they were disgusting.
Oh,
they
sorry.
Were really horrendous.
I thought you were about to say them, mate. You really
no,
look like
they were really
double
horrible.
Cooked. Normally when things have been double cooked, triple fried. And they were disgusting, actually.
Were
yeah,
disgusting.
Absolutely
They're
rank.
Really,
absolutely
awful.
Rank.
Yeah.
Skanky old razor. I was about to call it a laser clam. That made it sound very futuristic. 5-second rule, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever eaten food that was intended for a pet or just someone else?
Probably someone else. That's kind of my kids know that if there's a bit of food that I quite like left in the fridge, I'll still have it. Yeah. I get told off by my eldest now. Oh, she'll give me like a birthday cake that she got given from like a party.
Oh,
and
right,
she'll be like, I've put it in the snack drawer, mummy. I know where it is.
Get your hands off it.
Eat it.
Yeah.
But it looks really tasty.
Worst looking or smelling, but best tasting thing you've ever eaten? You've had a rude thought. I can tell from your face you've had a rude thought. I mean, we could just leave that with your look as an answer if you want. It was a really filthy look and I loved it. Absolutely. Absolutely lovely business.
Blush now.
Happy New Year. on that note, hangover, what are you having?
Will you hate me to say if I don't have hangovers?
Oh. Because you don't drink?
No, I do.
Oh, do you
well,
drink?
Not as much as I used to.
Yeah, no, me neither. I miss it.
I used to be one of those annoying people who'd be like, I'm up. Let's do some hoovering. Let's get the cleaning done.
Amazing.
Wow. I know, I'm one of those sickening people.
Okay, well, that's...
And I have tested it.
Yeah.
Because like, I was like...
I've really pushed it.
Like, after like pregnancy and stuff, I was like, maybe because I've had like a good 9 months, like, realistically a year, 18 months without having alcohol, my body, my resistance got... No.
Nope.
Fine.
I'm in awe. No other option. Would you eat a person?
Oh my god!
I really love asking sensible grown-ups that.
Oh, I'm going to go back to the hunger conversation.
Okay.
If my hunger took over, then I'm going to have to, aren't I?
If there's no other option,
exactly.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a chance I might enjoy it. I'm sorry.
It's time for the big end question.
Jeanette. Cats take over. It was always on the cards. Some of them never even pretended they weren't already in charge. They storm the Vatican first, and then they come for the rest of us in our sleep, as in via our dreams, so that we wake up under their spell. We're leaving food around for them all the time, forgetting to feed ourselves. We're too busy stroking and poking tiny laser sticks with fish symbols on them all around for them to chase. Brainwashed into being genuinely delighted when they bring in half-dead creatures for us. We all clap and get our pans out for them when they do that, like the pandemic NHS on a Thursday. But it gets nasty. Birds are the first to perish. Then we begin to realise it's a slow, catty apocalypse. Luckily, they've agreed to stop, and the birds are allowed back to life, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Jeanette, agree to play 30 million games of Bananagrams back to back with no breaks at all whilst doing a mouth impression of three instruments, a maraca, a children's electric drum kit, and a school-specific classic, the triangle. So, no way of sneaking any fuel in during the Bananagrams. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero! You go down in history as a person who saved us all from the cat apocalypse. But your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. Now you are flipping hungry. This is the opposite of a last meal because you couldn't be happier because of all the adulation and the place in history. And you couldn't be hungrier because obviously that Bananagrams took ages. And your brain was working all that time, so you're flipping hungry. So what would be in this fantasy situation where the happiest and hungriest you can imagine being? What would you eat? What would you drink? And if there's a who, with, and where, you can have a who, with, and where. Also, I want to add the caveat that we all understand this is only your answer now. And were I to have asked you at any other time, with a different setup, you could have a different answer. But right now, what would your answer be to that?
On my own.
Love it. Says the mum of three.
On my own. In silence. Deadly silence. Loaded fries.
Yes, yes.
But with, like, braised, like... like slow cooked steak, like beef with gravy and mozzarella all mixed up together. So it's all like melty.
Oh.
Like that would be like the meal. And then I'd just be, because of the silence, I'd just be happy with like some squash. Like I'd just be reveling in the silence and with like that amazing loaded fries. That I'd just be so happy. I'm eating the meal in silence without having to think about anyone else and... no cats? Like, amazing. That would be
absolutely glorious. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hoovering Podcast.
What a way to see in the new year. Happy New Year, please. Happy 2023, you lot. You're the best. Make sure you're following Jeanette at The Mindset Nutritionist, or one word, on Instagram. Also, she is part of a brilliant new initiative called the All Bodies Recovery. Go to allbodiesrecovery.co.uk, a programme designed to help people in all sorts of marginalised bodies who have suffered with eating disorders to recover. Right, on to my admin. Please may you come and see me do Wench at Soho Theatre. Tickets will also hopefully be available to see it filmed somewhere in the spring as well. Keep your eyes peeled for all of those things on social media. And come and see Hoovering live at the Leicester Comedy Festival on the 18th of February, where I'm also doing a work in progress the night before as well. Tickets to everything, as ever, are on my website, jessicafostercue.com. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy Hoovering.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.